It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Got one of those feelings in my gut here this morning. Been kind of a, oh, I slept really, really good last night. I woke up, I don't know, sometimes I get up, I know something's happening, right? Got up with a sense of urgency this morning. Don't even really know what it's about other than when you get that feel. You know what I'm talking about. Get that feel. And I got up with that sense of urgency this morning and went to my, began to do my stuff that I do here in the morning, getting all my preparation done, digging through the Word a little bit, sitting around praying, meditating, trying to commune with the Lord. And then I made the mistake of, wasn't a mistake, turned on Mike Heath at 6. I often prepare as I'm listening to Mike. And I know it's hard for some of you guys to get up that early and tune into Mike, but catch him on the archives. Mike always has a very poignant show. Always does. And he had one of those this morning. In fact, he had it really, really kind of inspired me, made me go deeper in my heart. And before we get going here too quick, I got a couple things I want to. Don't forget this week, Mike Blake, all of the Central Ohio guys are getting together. You can find that on, go to CoachDaveLive.com, go to our events and all the plan and everything is there. We'd love to have as many of as you come because I think it's more important than we even understand that we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. So I'm going to get this. I got to get this out of the way first. Just talk about Mike, not Mike, but the Salt and Light Brigade meeting we're having here in Ohio. If you're close, come and join. If you need a place to stay, let us know. It's going to be Saturday only, but if some of you come early on Friday night, my wife would like to, I'm probably letting the cat out of the bag. She wants to show the Reliant movie. For those of you who haven't seen it, my wife would like to have at the end of the day, have a video showing, sit around together, get some popcorn out and watch the Reliant. So we're planning on that stuff too. But when I put my notes together like that, that's what I started with today. And that's why I'm starting with it today, starting with it on the show today. Bear with me, all right? Bear with me a second. And then I turned on Mike's show, and Mike was reading from the Message Bible, and it was so powerful. I'm going to steal from Mike, and I'm going to read it here as well. And then I heard from my good friend Mark Harrington, whose wife is having some minor surgery today. So Mark was up early at the hospital, and he was Facebooking me or texting me or whatever it was he was doing back and forth. And Mark's a frontline warrior if there ever was a. Can I ask you a question? How do we ever, have you ever fought a war? Have you ever seen a war? Have you ever seen a football game? Or have you ever seen any type of war where there are not casualties? That's what I was thinking about this morning. And why are we so convinced, or seem to be so convinced, that we can fight and win in this cultural war without casualties? By the way, all you have to do is look around, and the casualties are everywhere. See, we sit around, and I think about me, and you think about you, and we don't really stop and think, and we don't really go back and relive history. We don't get out the Hebrews 11 Faith Hall of Fame and read about those who came before us. We turn history into fiction in some ways. We don't stop and think, that Thomas Jefferson was a real guy and Ben Franklin was a real guy and John the Baptist was a real guy. The people in the Hebrews 11 Faith Hall of Fame were real people and real explorers and real pioneers. Went over the Appalachian Mountains, and they went out and they went over the Mississippi River, and the real people did that. And went out and they went up over the Rocky Mountains. Real people did that. And I was thinking, how hard that must have been. What that must be. I said to Michelle, if we get a winter storm here and we don't have power for 3 days, it's like, oh my God, are we going to make it here? Are we going to make it? Are we ever going to make it? We don't really take to heart that every one of us have a very short period of time in which we live our lives. And we, the older we get, I just hit 67. The older we get, I don't care who you are, the less time you have. The older you get, the less time you have. This makes sense, right? So why is it that the older I get, the less time I have, the less courageous I become? The less be courageous I... If we could really sit right here, right now, and we could get into some type of time machine, I don't even know how that would work. Maybe Mark Trump could create one of those for us. And we could go back to the future. If we could go 20 years from now, 20 years from now. So 20 years from now, my grandson David will be 24. Reese will be 29. Little Macy and Mia, they'll be 23 and 22. And the little monkeys will be... What if I could go 20 years in the future and look back to where I'm sitting right now today? If I were to do that, get 20 years into the future, if I could, would I come back here right now today and do something differently from what I'm doing now? I was thinking about my dad the other day. My dad died in 2003. You know that the year 2000 was 20 years ago? Do you know that? We're two decades. When it turned 2000, when we went from 1999 to 2000, that's 47. Now I'm 67. In 20 years, I'll be 87. So as I see that time compressing and my time here on Earth compressing, if I could go 20 years into the future and see what was going on, would I do something differently now than I'm doing? Would I? And why not? Or why would I? When you get up in the morning, I don't care what your walk in life is. I don't know where you are. You get up in the morning and you walk out that door, wherever that door is, wherever you're going. Are you going out that door with a multi-generational approach? In other words, are you just a baton passer? Do you realize that you are? Do you realize that you're a baton passer? Do you realize if my dad could come back, who's been dead since I said 2003, if my dad wasn't an active kind of guy, so he would, who knows how dad would have responded? Who knows? If my dad could come back today and see what's going on in America, would he have done something different at my age? In other words, if my dad was 67 right now, and my dad lived to about 87, so he made 20 more years. If he could come back right now, would he have redone those 20 years, those last 20 years? I won't say, Coach, what are you getting at? I'm getting at you. What are you doing of significance in your life rather than living your life and accumulating stuff? Whether it be financially accumulating stuff, getting a bigger bank account, bigger 401, whatever those things are called, 401k, getting a bigger one, owning more property. All of that, by the way, being meaningless. I look here and where I live down here by my studio, the stuff that we have stored down here in the studio, that as soon as they throw me in the grave, my kids are going to throw in the trash. They're going to throw it all in the trash. That's sentimental value to me. And I get up every day and I fight and fight and think first and foremost, how am I going to hang on to what I have? In 20 years from now, will I wish that I have spent more of my time losing what I have now to secure a brighter future for my children? Because we're under assault like it doesn't even register with the average Christian, the assault that we are under. The precipice that Christian America stands on. We have no We have no concept. Folks, I'm going to tell you this. There's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And I've told you this before, that you know that my position is, I don't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. It doesn't mean it's all right. We still can be friends. I don't care. And even if I did believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, I would, if I could go to that day when I was raptured out here, let's say it's 2 years, 3 years, 2 months, whatever it is, if I could go stand at that moment when that rapture is occurring, or just after it's occurred, and look back and say, wow, daggone, I should have done this, and I should have done this, and I should have done this, and I should have done this. I say, Coach, what are you getting at? Well, I'm kind of in stream of consciousness today, asking if what you say you believe matches the way you live. Does it match the way you live? And I think the answer to that question would be no, it doesn't. It doesn't. And so as I was getting my stuff together, here's what I started with today. Hallmark flipped again. Now, those of you who are following the Hallmark thing, Hallmark now is running homosexual commercials. Hallmark's running homosexual girls kissing. Hallmark. Hallmark. And I said to my wife yesterday, I'd say to whoever would listen, who made that decision? When you point a finger at somebody, if you're running Hallmark, who's been family-centered Hallmark forever and ever and ever and ever, who came up with the idea, hey, let's start featuring same-sex couples? That would be really, really, let's start doing that. And wasn't there somebody with some semblance of intelligence who would say, nope, let's see, homosexuals are about maybe 2% of the population. Nah, not a lot of money there. Just from strictly let's take their principles and throw their principles out the window. Just from merely a money-making standpoint, not very smart. Let's not go there. We're Hallmark. We're rock-solid family value. Let's not go there. But they made the decision and they went there. Now, why would they make the decision to go there? Well, they made this decision to go there because in their minds, most of Christendom has accepted homosexuality. In their minds. So they're thinking. See, they're not thinking that they're cutting edge radical. They think they're keeping up with the times. Well, everybody, and people probably sitting on the board said, well, I go to church and our pastor thinks it's okay. And our denomination, the Southern Baptist Convention, by the way, has flipped. I don't know if you saw that, right? But what does that leave us with? What does it leave us with? It leaves us with Neanderthals like me and Neanderthals like some of you. And I'm thinking of David 20 years from now, when the Bible says that if we begin to continue to teach our children Christian principles, we make them a prey. I think it's Isaiah 59, I'm not sure. We make them a prey. That if I train my children in the way they go and biblical values, when they become adults, they are going to be, if you think it's tough now to be a Christian, and if you're afraid now to use the word sodomy and sodomite, if you're afraid to use that now, did you see the Trump administration just made calling, even talking about Zionists and Zionist potential hate crime? Did you see that, folks? Did you see that? You say, oh, well, that doesn't matter. We're going to be out of here. We'll be out of here soon. What if we're not? Say, Coach, where are you heading on this? You kind of all, this really, how can we live in a country of Christians, Hallmark spits in our face. People stand up and complain. Hallmark relents. We're sorry. We'll pull the commercials down. Ellen DeGeneres, she speaks up. Some other homo lover speaks up. And then Hallmark changes their mind. How can the fear of the church be so small, so little? How can Hallmark be afraid of 2% of the population? Because it isn't 2% of the population. It isn't. Not when you get a homo supporters. I get emails all the time. They say, Coach, get on something else. You must be a closeted homo. You must want it in the rear end. You must. I mean, the most vile things that are sent to me. And see, the reason is because, as we learned, they're trying to do everything they can to silence the mouth of Christians, and they're doing a very, really, really good job of it. I am a Neanderthal. I am. Mike Heath is a Neanderthal. He is. And so we're going to have to make a decision right here, right now. Today was what? The 17th day of December. Well, you're going to have to make a decision today. Are you all in or are you part in? Because you can't be part in. You can't be part in. And I've made the determination in my own heart, I'm upping the ante. I'm going in farther. I'm going more radical. I'm going more bold. I'm going more in your face. That's what I'm doing. That's what I will not be silenced. But I will not be silenced.
Amen, Coach.
Resolve to be gay. Please, hey. Resolve to be gay.
Resolve to be gay?
Yeah. I'm happy all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm happy. Yeah, I'm with you, Jack. But listen, folks, you understand this? You understand? Come on now. Do you know the FBI's already been here once? Do you know that they're watching everything we say here on this show? Do you know that? And do you know that the FBI ain't righteous? You do know that, don't you? It's not a righteous organization. Say, oh, well, there's a lot of good people in it. Yeah, like there's a lot of good people in education. A lot of good Christian teachers who look the other way when that homo stuff is shoved down their throat. Oh, a lot of good FBI agents, a lot of good ones. Well, can somebody point one out to me? Can somebody show me some whistleblower FBI agent stand up and say, yep, I knew Strzok and he was doing this. Yeah, I knew Page and she was doing that. Yep, yeah, and I'll go testify against him. I'm sick of that. Have you heard of any of those? Any of those coming out yet? Any good ones? Hear any teachers in the school say, oh, yeah, you wouldn't believe. You wouldn't believe Sarah down the hallway. You wouldn't believe what she's teaching to those kids down there is quiet and silent. You wouldn't believe that. Is that going on? You know that that's going on? Because I'm going to tell you something. It is happening right now. What do you say, it? It is happening right now. They are setting their traps and their snares right now. And when the voice is needed the loudest and the most right now, most of you watching will not open your mouth.
Hey, Coach, as of right now, you can still get by on Facebook with the word sodomite. I use it like crazy, and I don't get tagged for it, but who knows when they're going to change. But when you use biblical terminology, most of the time they keep their pie holes shut so far.
So Alan, what am I going to do? And I've told you this. I think about this every night before I go to bed. Every night I do. When those black limos pull up inside of my house and kick down my door and drag me and my wife out of there and come up with some bogus charges against me and I go off into jail for however long, I believe that could happen tomorrow. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. It could happen tomorrow. You know how fast you guys would scatter?
You mean like Ken Hovind?
Ken Hovind?
Schaefer Cox? These guys are rotted in jail.
Right. And why do they do it to us? Because they know that when they come and get me and tell all those lies about me without any chance, the FBI, yeah, that'd be really fair. When the FBI comes after you, the IRS comes out, I'd feel real secure. I'm going to get a fair trial there, right? You know what it is? The Bible says they're going to strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter because you guys aren't prepared. I'm not sure I'm prepared, but I know this. We are at war. We're at war. And it may not come in my lifetime, but the seeds are sown into the next generation, into my grandchildren. It's their boys and girls.
Amen.
And I don't even know. I wish I had an answer. I wish I had an answer because I cannot for the life of me figure out how we have become so useless. Christianity has become so useless in the fight. Well, I know how it has. It's become useless because we have lost the meaning of Christianity. We don't even know what that means anymore. It's all nice, 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 nice. And in the meantime, they're robbing us of every virtue, everything. My dad's generation, those boys who stormed the beaches at Omaha, they didn't storm Omaha Beach so a man could marry a man. Come on, dudes. They didn't. Those guys that died at Gettysburg didn't die at Gettysburg so that a man and a woman could kill their baby. Come on, dudes. Those guys who died in that Civil War didn't die in the Civil War so that the government could have more influence and the IRS could take 50% of your money. That is not why they died, my friends. And so because of that, those of us who are living in comfort today are taking advantage and, in fact, are spitting on their sacrifice. They were real men with real lives who laid down real lives for something greater than themselves. And we couldn't care less today.
Debt has silenced us, Coach. Debt. Even the good guys that believe exactly what you're saying are silenced by debt. Mm-hmm. And the debt is brought on by the crony capitalists, not the liberals.
Fake money. Jack, they're printing up. What I see, they're printing $1 trillion to get through the Christmas holidays here. Did you guys see that? They're printing $1 trillion.
Well, send me a couple pounds.
And here's the thing. All of us are, our mouths are all shut because for fear of what they might do. Well, let me tell you something. They're going to do it. And they don't care whether your mouth is running or not. Now, they're going to get me first because I'm the most vocal. But if they get me, they locked you up too. They've locked you up. They throw me in that slammer. Who's going to take care of my family? Maybe I'll just shut up and go lay under a tree, get a mobile home, and drive down to Florida and live down there and just keep my mouth shut. I said that to my Michelle yesterday. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll go do that. I'm not going to. So Coach, where are you going? I don't know where I'm going. Other than, boys and girls, how can you ever fight and think you're not going to lose anything? How can you stand up and sucker punch the government and not think they're going to respond? How can you? You know something? When those black limos pull up my house, you know who's going to be clapping the loudest? The pulpit. They're going to be clapping the loudest. The warning's going to go out. The warning. Hey, so I spend the last 20 years of my life in jail. Huh? For what? It doesn't matter. They don't have to have a reason. Come on. Look what they're doing to the President of the United States. They are making up crime.
You got muted.
I said that.
Coach, they muted you again.
Okay, I'll try it again. They're making up charges against the President of the United States out in broad daylight. Broad daylight, making up charges. What will they do to me and you? Wake up!
Hey, Coach.
Wake up!
Coach, can I interject for a second? I have something very important to say. I promise you it's not stupid. I promise you that.
Go.
Okay, you ready for this? I can tie in that this subject I had introduced you guys intermittently with the painting of Bill Clinton in the blue dress. And it's going to blow your mind. Bill Clinton has no male genitalia. And I'm saying, so how can I prove that? I can prove that by a video of Dr. Mehmet Oz working out, and it will show you in the video that he has no male genitalia. So what am I saying? I'm saying that painting of Bill Clinton in a blue dress was a hint that, and what I'm going to say, is going to be very weird, that all the males that you see on TV have no male genitalia, and it's possible that the women do.
So Vinny, let's say all that's true. What does that have to do with me right here in Hebron, Ohio, in 2019?
Okay. Now, the reason I'm tying it in is I don't know. I've missed a couple episodes of the show because of personal things and things like that. So I don't know if you've talked about the recent happening in Seattle, where they're talking about the homeless problem, and to combat the homeless problem, they hired a 400-pound transgender stripper.
Right.
And what I'm just saying is that they're ushering in the apocalypse. It's here. It's in front of us, and we have to pay attention.
Vinny, they're doing it in our local libraries, Vinny.
Yes,
in our local libraries.
Another one of these freaks rolling around with a kid.
Benny, where is the opposition? Where is it? How can they get away with it, Benny? How can they get away with it? Listen. I'm not arguing nor agreeing with anything that you're saying, Benny, about Bill Clinton and about and the Giants. You can take any issue you want to. Boys and girls, the battle is breaking out in your local community right in front of you. And you better get your eyes off of the bigger picture and look down at that little picture and say, what can I do here and now? I posted today on Facebook real quickly. Will your local sheriff, if the state you live in, the state legislature makes a law to take all guns, will your local sheriff stand and fight for your right to keep the guns or not? Will they? Because, see, that is something practical right now. Say, well, our sheriff would. Will he? Will he? Will he? And if he doesn't, what are you going to do? If they come knocking on the door and they want your guns, are you going to be a good Christian and follow Romans 13 and obey the God? Are you going to do that? Because, folks, this is the kind of stuff we're dealing with right in front of us. Vinny, I'm not making light of what you say. I don't care if Bill Clinton has three penises. I don't care. I'm talking about them taking guns right here, right where I live. I'm talking about right here, right where I live, that bringing the homosexual, transgender, whatever agenda into my schools right here, where I don't care if Bill Clinton's got four penises. It's happening right here in my community. And what are you and I doing to prevent it? Because if we get our eyes on the big picture, we see it, then we got to come back to right where we live. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, no, of course. When I always say, I say something, please look it up. Don't believe a bloody thing I say. The only reason I bring it up is because at this point, I believe I have a discernment on this issue that a lot of people simply don't have. And too many people are still looking up to these celebrities. There's a stupid movie that's going to come out in 3 days now, I think it is. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. It's this thing they call The Rise of Skywalker. It's a bunch of garbage, and people are going to waste money going to see this only to walk out of the theater laughing. And instead of going to fruitful pursuits, instead of defunding satanic social clubs, defunding Planned Parenthood, CPS, the reason I wanted to get up early so I could talk to you about this. We need to defund CPS. Okay, I quote a statistic. 88% of CPS child placements went missing. How is it that 9 out of 10 children go missing and no one thinks it's a bloody problem?
Easy, Vinny, easy. Because, yes, the Satanists are in control, but not of ours. We have a good CPS. Ours is good. We have good people working on it. We have good schools and good teachers. We have. I know my child's teacher. She's a great Christian. Their schools are great. Oh, now, I hate Congress. Oh, those damn congressmen. Oh, but we are congressmen. He's a good. It's all deception, folks. And it's all deception locally. Locally, right?
It's smoke and mirrors. We've been told not to do anything. Like Larry.
It's smoke and mirrors in the church. You've been told in the church not to do anything. It's smoke and mirrors everywhere you look.
Coach, okay, well, all the movies and TV that tell us that Christians are nice.
I don't even watch it. I don't even watch that stuff.
It's a bunch of hot garbage. It's not. Christians demand justice. We demand justice. That's what Christians do. We've been told in the movies, oh, we're nice. It's a bunch of stupidity.
Jared, pull up Matthew 23 in the message. Pull up.
Cut my head off.
Well, here's the thing, bud. They're going to. Now, wait a minute. No. They're going to cut off the heads of your grandchildren if you teach them the truth. But, coach, that's what the Bible says will happen. Oh, yeah? Well, I ain't laying my grandson on the altar.
Hey, thank you.
The Lord calls me to do that. But I'm not going to set him up to be a prey. Not this, Grandpa. I ain't going to do it.
Hey, Coach. Yeah. Every denomination in our nation is corrupted at the top. Everyone of them. Church of God, Assembly of God, the whole nine yards. And I'm telling you, me and a pastor was talking yesterday, and I don't care how good of a man of God you are, if you're sitting up underneath an umbrella of wickedness, you can preach, you can pray, you can do fast, you can do everything you want, but you're still under that ungodly yoke, and there's no way out from under it unless you come out from underneath it.
The Southern Baptist Convention is totally and completely flipped on the homo issue. They're now homo-friendly. The entire, you think, I could Google it. I could Google it for you. I just didn't have it up there because, you know, you probably don't care. So, well, I'm not a Southern Baptist. They're falling. Those trees are falling one at a time. Plop, 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 plop. Boys and girls, this is, it is right on us now. Now, Jared, pull up. I'm not yelling at you, Jared. Mike Heath. I was listening to Mike. This is what got me going here today. Mike pulled up Matthew 23 in the Message Bible. The Message Bible. I'm sorry, Jared, did I tell you that? Now, the Message Bible is a paraphrase, all right? Paraphrase. Mike, I'm stealing this from you. Because I thought, my goodness. For all you religious folks out there, I don't believe the Message Bible is the Bible, all right? I wouldn't believe everything I read in the Message Bible. It's a paraphrase. But I want you to listen to this. Matthew 23. Now Jesus turned to address his disciples along with the crowd that had gathered with him. The religion scholars and Pharisees are competent teachers in God's law. You won't go wrong on following their teachers on Moses. But be careful about following them. They talk a good line, but they don't live it. They don't take it into their hearts and live it out in their behavior. It's all spit and polish veneer. He's talking about the religious leaders. Instead of giving you God's laws, food and drink, by which you can banquet on God, they package it in bundles of rules, loading you down like pack animals. They seem to take pleasure in watching you stagger under these loads and wouldn't think of lifting a finger to help. Their lives are perpetual fashion shows. Embroidered prayer shawls one day and flowery prayers the next. They love to sit at the head table at the church's dinners, basking in the prominent, most prominent positions, preening in their radiance of public flattery, supporting the government schools, receiving honorary degrees and getting called doctor and reverend and prophet. And you want to stand out, Jesus said, and step down, be a servant. Oh, I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself. Don't let people do that to you. Put you on a pedestal like that. You have a single teacher and are all classmates. Don't set people up as experts over your life, letting them tell you what to do. Say that authority for Jesus. Let him tell you what to do. No one else should carry the title of father. Dare I say it, pastor. You have only one father, and he's in heaven, and don't let people maneuver you into taking charge of them. There's only one life leader for you and them, and that's Christ. You want to stand out? Then step down. Be a servant. You want to puff yourself up? You'll get the wind knocked out of you. But if you're content to simply be yourself, your life will count for plenty. Frauds! I've had it with you, Jesus said. You're hopeless. You religion scholars, you Pharisees, you're frauds. Your lives are roadblocks to God's kingdom. You refuse to enter, and you won't let anyone else in either. You're hopeless. You religious scholars and Pharisees, you frauds. You go halfway around the world to make a convert, but once you get him, you make him into a replica of you. Double damned. You're hopeless. What arrogant stupidity. You say, if someone makes a promise with his fingers crossed, that's nothing. But if he swears with his hand on the Bible, that's serious. What ignorance! Does the leather on the Bible carry more weight than the skin on your hands? What about this piece of trivia? If you shake hands on a promise, that's nothing. But if you raise your hand and God is your witness, that's serious. What ridiculous hair splitting. What difference does it make whether you shake hands or raise hands? A promise is a promise. What difference does it make if you promise inside or outside the church? A promise is a promise. God is present, watching, and holding you to account regardless of whether you raised your hand or laid your hand. You're hopeless, you religious scholars and Pharisees, you frauds. You keep meticulous accounting books, tithing on every nickel and dime you get, but on the meat of God's law, things like homosexual transgenderism in our schools. Like the fairness and compassion and commitment, the absolute basic, you carelessly take it or leave it. Careful bookkeeping. Oh, you know where all the money's gone. but the basics are what's required. Do you have any idea how silly you look? I'm listening, folks. Do you have any idea how silly the church looks to the world? Do we have any idea? Do we have any idea? I'll never forget. I went to a meeting one time with James Traffic, and he was at that time a congressman from Ohio. He's dead now. He's one of the good congressmen, actually. He's a good guy. And we go walking in. There was about 10 or 20 of us. And you know what he said? We walked in the room. Oh, what can I do for these nice little Christians? I'll never forget it. I wanted to knock his teeth out. See, we don't see how the world sees us, right? Huh? You have careful bookkeeping, but the basics are required. Do you have any idea how silly you look? Huh? Writing a story, a life story that's wrong from start to finish, nitpicking over commas and semicolons. You're hopeless. You religious scholars and Pharisees, you frauds. You burnish the surface of your cups and bowls so they sparkle in the sun while the insides are maggoty with your greed and your gluttony. Stupid Pharisees! Scour the insides and then the gleaning surface will mean something. You're hopeless, you religious scholars, Pharisees, frauds. You're like manicured grave plots, grass clipped and the flowers bright. But 6 feet down, it's all rotting bones and worm-eaten flesh. People look at you and think you're saints, but beneath the skin, you're total frauds. You're hopeless. You religious scholars and Pharisees, you frauds. You build granite tombs for your prophets and marble monuments for your saints. And you say that if you had lived in the days, or if I'd been alive back then, I sure would have shown them. You say that if you had lived in those days of your ancestors, no blood would have been on your hands. You would have protested too much. Well, they're slaughtering babies, teaching young kids to be homos. You protest too much. You're cut from the same cloth as those murderers. And daily you add to the death count. You snakes. You reptilian sneaks. Do you think you can worm your way out of this? Never have to pay the piper? It's on account of people like you that I send prophets and wise guides and scholars generation after generation and generation after generation. You treat them like dirt, greeting them with lynch mobs, hounding them with abuse. Hey, dudes, you can't squirm out of this. Every drop of innocent blood ever spilled on this earth, beginning with the blood of that good man Abel, right down to the blood of Zechariah, his son, whom you murdered at his prayers, every drop of that blood is on your hands. And I'm telling you, it's coming down on you and on your generation. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, murderers of the prophets, killers of the ones who brought you God, good news, God's news. How often I've ached to embrace your children the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you wouldn't let me. Now you're so desolate, nothing but a ghost town. What is there left to say? Only this. I'm out of here soon. I'm out of here. Oh, the rapture's coming. I'm out of here. Next time you see me, you'll say, oh, God has blessed him. He's come bringing God's rules. So we need to take a self-evaluation of us, of Christendom, of our Christendom leadership. See, really, really, if we had any heart to us at all, churches would be closed down until abortion stopped. How can the American church coexist with the slaughter of innocent preborn babies? Can somebody tell me that? 45 years? 45 years.
Satanic social groups, easy.
Hang on, still having church, still going in there, praising, worshiping, dancing, and swinging your flags, giving out prophetic words, and right down the street they're murdering babies. Right down the street they're teaching kids to be homos. Right down the road, right down the street. Right down the street, churches are endorsing and embracing and encouraging homosexuality. Folks, what's going on? What's going on?
Hey, Coach.
Jeff.
You might want to bring in Robert to read early. It is exactly what you're talking about this morning.
I'm thinking, I'm thinking you're Robert. Robert is Jeff paying you.
It is really good, Coach.
I'll get him in here. I'll get him in here. Hang on a second. Vinny, you're going to say something. Somebody's going to say something. Hey, are you ready to die? Are you ready to go to jail? Are you ready to go to jail to prevent somebody else's kid being indoctrinated in homosexuality? Are you willing and ready to lose everything you have? I'm going to tell you this. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. I'm not either. But I'm smart enough to know it's a possibility. And I'm going to shut up. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to go silent. I'm going to up my end. I'm going to up my game. Somebody come on in.
We're right with you and behind you. I got your six, Coach.
We know that right now. We'll see.
But you have to choose now, Coach. You can't wait until the knocking on the door to make the decision. You can't wait. You have to choose what you will do, what you're going to do. It's choose this day, not when it happens. You can't do it.
Choose this day, Jack. Got to choose this day. Hey, listen, let that prissy pastor of yours tell you to stay away from me because you're going to get in trouble. What does that mean? What does that mean? If your pastor's telling you stay away from me because you're going to get in trouble, it's exactly what I'm talking about. Exactly what I'm talking about. Because if you stay with him, you sure as hell won't get in trouble. You'll be okay there. Anybody else? Come on in. I'm serious, man.
I am so glad that that is not my pastor.
Coach, I'd rather be in trouble sitting in a jail cell, standing up for what's right, than those that don't think they're in trouble, think they're free, that live in bondage and have no concept of what God is doing in our nation.
I had an epiphany yesterday, Randy. I never thought about it. I was listening to somebody talk. I was watching a video. I can't remember what it was. And all of a sudden, it was like, bang, boom. You guys sitting down? You know Jesus was arrested? Just let that sink in. Before he was crucified, Jesus was arrested. And he went and he stood before Pilate. And what did Pilate say to him? He said, don't you know I got the power to kill you or power to let you go? In other words, he's saying, hey, dude, calm down here, man. I got you covered. Just tone it down here a little bit. Will you, Jesus? Will you tone it down? What'd Jesus say? Sorry, dude. Ain't got no power over me. Unless it's been given to you from on high. He got no power over me. He had a perfect out. He could have just calmed it down and built himself a big old church right there. And he could have just built a big old church right in downtown Jerusalem. They'd have come from miles around to be part of it. All he had to do is just stop preaching against the establishment. Stop it. Jesus, come on, man. You're making it hard for us. You can read it. You can read it when the Pharisees and the Sadducees said, listen, the Romans are going to get mad at us. You got to stop it. They're going to get mad at us. And Jesus said, nope. No, boys, I ain't getting mad. Actually, boys, it ain't the Romans I'm worried about. It's y'all. Because if you all were doing what you're supposed to be, we wouldn't be nearly in this mess that we're in.
Don't rock the boat.
Yeah.
Just when I was in the Marines, we wanted. It's called a CAR, a combat action ribbon, and you wanted a combat action ribbon. Why? Because when the bullets started flying, you wanted to know that you weren't the guy who just started crying and shit his pants, right? You wanted the fight. You wanted, and it wasn't because you wanted to kill people. It wasn't because you wanted to, at least for me anyway, you know, not just because you're a sociopath, maybe a little bit, but it's because you wanted to know that you had what it took to stand when your life was on the line. Mm-hmm. And to fulfill your purpose, which was to fight for your country.
Amen, Jared.
And that's And why? Because we trained every day for that eventuality. You trained for it. You wanted to test, does my training work? Is it working? Does it work under the most extreme situation? And that's, are we training right? You know?
You find out something about you. Right, Jared?
Yes, sir.
You find out something about you. So let me ask you something here. Robert, I'm going to bring you in here. Bring you in here in a second. Scripture says this. I think it's Psalm 11:3. I think. Psalm 5:5, maybe it is. That God hates all workers of iniquity. Now, let me pause here for a second. Let me ask you guys something. Could somebody describe to me a worker of iniquity? What is a worker of iniquity?
A temple priest.
We know this. We know this from the scripture. I think it's Psalm 5:5, Jared. We know from the scripture that God hates them. Hates all workers of iniquity. Okay, what's a worker of iniquity? What would that be?
Coach,
Go ahead.
It's people that know that it's wrong, but they're going to go do it anyway. That's what it's iniquity is.
I would say it's worse than that. I think you're on the right path, Alan, but I think it's worse than that. I think a worker of iniquity is someone who not only is doing evil, but is teaching others to do it as well. I think that's a worker of iniquity, right? So if God does, in fact, Jared, did you look and see if it's on Psalm 5:5? Because I don't want people to think I'm lying to them. Psalm 5:5, right? There it is. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. So we better figure out who those. Now, are workers of iniquity sinners? No. There's a difference between a sinner and a worker of iniquity. They're not the same. Does God hate the sinner? Well, is God separated from the sinner? As to whether he hates him or not, we can discuss that. But does God love? Come on now. Does God, would a worker of iniquity be a transgender guy who goes into a library and tries to recruit kids into that lifestyle? Would that be a worker of iniquity, you think?
Bloody right.
I think it is. I think that's a worker of iniquity. Can somebody show me where I'm called to love what God hates? Going awful quiet, see. We don't think God has any enemies. We don't think Christians have any enemies. Stick your head outside the church, will you, folks? Look outside the church. The enemies of the cross are everywhere. We are at war, man. We are at war. They are doing everything they can to destroy Christianity and Christian values. Folks, those are workers of iniquity. Those are not friends of God.
Oh, my Coach, they goodness. Use the law to do it, Coach. They use the law to do it. They suborn our righteous morality with laws.
Well,
Coach, iniquity is coming right from the pulpit, Coach. I called Dr. Tim Hill, the big dog for Church of God, because Tony Stewart, I told you before, allowed that Carl Lentz to come down here in the biggest Church of God in Tampa Bay area, the mega church, Church of God, and they let Carl Lentz come down here and preach. Now, we know how he stands on homosexuality. We know where he stands on abortion. We know he lies down on Oprah's couch, and they still let that piece of trash come and preach down here behind the pulpit in Tampa. I called Dr. Tim Hill. I was on the phone with his secretary for 30 minutes, and it's been a month and a half, and I still ain't got a call back from that rat.
Well, no, you're going to. No. Because why? Just read Matthew. We just read it in Matthew. They're all frauds. They're all frauds. So listen, I'm running out of time because I got to get Robert in here to read it because I know it's going to be good. See, listen, boys and girls, ultimately this comes down to me and you. I'm going to individually stand before the Lord. I'm going to, and so are you. And he's going to say to me, well, Coach, what? Yeah, gee, Coach, sure love you. And I'm on my way to heaven. It's not a salvation issue. The Bible says we're going to be judged out of everything written in the books, right? And he's going to say, Coach, God, you were such a great servant to me, and you built a big church, and everything's good. Man, boy, you sure went silent when sodomy started to invade the church. Man, you sure went silent on that one, didn't you? What happened there, Coach? Well, Coach, well, you know what? They're murdering babies. In fact, Coach, murdering babies went on for 45 years. 45 years you were down there murdering babies. What? You, that's going on while you were there, Coach. Are you kidding me? I'm just saying. And I want to claim a righteous king. I want to claim that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords and Lord over all things. And I want to open my mouth because I might lose my stuff or I might go to jail. And, hey, Jesus went to jail. Jesus was arrested. Jesus got the death penalty. What makes me better than him? So you don't want to go here, do we? We don't want to go here. Greater love is no man than this. And he lay down his life for who? For his grandkids. That'd be the greatest man. Yeah. Lay down. Doesn't mean you have to die for him. Maybe you got to be locked up for him. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, most of it from jail. Think he could have wiggled out of it? Think he could have kept his mouth shut? Things going a little bit better for him? Think he could have just been built a mega church downtown and just taught him the five spiritual laws and prosperity gospel and Paul been okay with it? Probably could have. Think Stephen could have gotten away without being stoned if he just kept his mouth shut? Yeah, he probably could have. What is this all about? Where is Stephen today? Well, he's the same place my dad is, I think. Anyway, he's dead. Wherever he is, he's dead. Stephen is, physically. Where's George Washington? Same place Stephen is. Abe Lincoln? Yeah, he's there too. Where's Hitler? Same place there. Yeah, because see, we all end up there. It's where we all end up there. And we're put here to be salt and light, to be his voice. That's why we're put here. And we go silent. We go mute. We go all nicey, patty, patty cake. Against things that the Lord hates. We're his representatives. We're his stewards. We're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And our light goes out and our mouth goes shut. December 17th. Fruitless branches are dead.
Yep, that's it, Coach. God's looking down on the earth. He's not looking for buildings. He's looking for lights that will shine. Mm.
Say that. That's a good one. He's not looking for buildings. He's looking for lights. Amen. Go ahead, Robert.
Okay, the quote, well, this is something I wrote a quote on. It says, we must notice the R's here. We must have true repentance from sin, a cleansing revival in the church, a spiritual revolution in the nation, and a wholehearted return to the Bible. These are the absolute requirements for today, or we will experience awful ruin for tomorrow.
Boy.
Fruitless branches on dead trees. Many churches today lack the manifest power, presence, and peace of God because they have quenched the Spirit of God, denied the Son of God, and have adulterated the Word of God. They do not worship God in spirit and truth because they have no fear of God. They do not walk by the Spirit of God because they are not filled with the Spirit. They do not love the Son of God because they do not keep his commandments. They despise the Word of God because they do not submit to its divine authority. And then it goes on. When this happens, all that is left are powerless religious traditions, vain imaginations of men, and marketing strategies by which many contemporary churches are built.
Yes, sir.
They may have many offering plates, but few living in holy sacrifices. Some may raise a hand while no one is looking around, but few will raise a voice to declare that Jesus is Lord of all. A few may walk to the altar and say a little prayer, but few will die at the altar and pay the ultimate price. Though many quick and sincere confessions may be said, few long and lasting genuine disciples will be made. We need to be the church which Jesus is building upon the solid rock confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We don't need to go to man-made churches built on the shifting sands of another Jesus or receive a different spirit or a different gospel. The perishing don't need to be invited to church which isn't holding fast to the head, but to Christ, the head of the church which is a pillar in support of the truth.
Amen.
Those alienated from God need to be brought into the household of God, which is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. True revival is awaiting a church that overcomes the world, not one being overcome by and conformed to the world.
Amen.
Such a church consists of members working out their salvation with fear and trembling. They abide in Jesus, who is the true vine. By bearing much fruit, they prove to be his disciples. By obeying him, they prove that he is Lord. By keeping his commandments, they demonstrate that they have come to know him. And by not practicing lawlessness, they prove that he knows them.
Amen.
Beware of fruitless branches which hang on dead trees. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed.
Wow.
They are deceived, disciples of the evil one, and slaves of unrighteousness and of sin. Such ones hold to a form of godliness without power, proclaim a distorted gospel which cannot save, and will depart into the eternal fire which will not be quenched. They have a hope which will not only will only disappoint, because they have not fixed their hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. Such ones judge themselves unworthy of eternal life because they rejected God's purpose for themselves by being unwilling to come to and receive Jesus, who is eternal life.
Amen.
Instead, they freely choose to go away into eternal punishment, which they denied existed, and into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. 37 verses basically talking about spiritual warfare. We got to rise up and be the church and become the salt and the light instead of hiding out and dead in buildings.
Amen. So two things were on my heart today, and I kind of puked all over you this morning. I don't apologize for it. I don't. This is going to make him nervous. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. Jared, real quickly, let me go to stuff here. Flip it up there, Jared. Virginia Militia. Virginia Militia. The last thing there, Jared. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. I know this isn't very Christian. I understand this isn't very Christian. I apologize. Did you know it begins, it says, December 16th. That had been yesterday, right? Virginia forms active militia to protect sheriffs, citizens from unconstitutional laws. Folks, it's beginning. See? It's beginning. And I've been saying for as long as I've been doing the radio that the pushback was not going to come from the church. The pushback was going to come from the NASCAR crowd. The good old boys who drive cars fast with big engines.
Amen.
Who drink their Budweiser and their beer, and they ain't giving up their guns, right? But see, they're not acceptable to the church because they're not holy and righteous enough to the church. They don't qualify to be good Christian men. Boys, the pushback is beginning. And I say to you, we had Dr. Vieira on last week, 2 weeks ago, talking about the well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state. Hey, what's going on in your state? What's going to happen in your state if the governor or whoever, the state legislature, says, well, we got to collect all those guns? Going to wait till they're knocking on the door to get together and get organized? Might be too late then.
Wait, can you get Dr. Vieira back on, Coach?
I'll just have to make a phone call and do it. That's all I have to do.
Do it. We need him real bad right now.
We need him, and we need him really bad. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. You better hear me. We're not locked up by debt. We're locked up by fake money. Our money is not real. It's not real. And you get enslaved and indebted to money that isn't even real, folks. It isn't even real. We don't understand it.
Article 1, 10.
We don't get it. We don't understand it. We as Christians, sound money is righteousness. Unsound money isn't. It all goes together. Christianity, the Constitution, America, the Declaration, it all goes together. You can't pull Christ out of it and have righteous government. You can't do it.
2 Timothy 2:15, Coach.
What is that, Jack?
Study to show yourselves approved, a workman, righteous, dividing the word of God.
Boys and girls, you better count the cost. of costly times are coming upon this land. I'm not trying to scare you. I just love you enough to tell you the truth. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.